Well, once again, the gospel story takes us into words that Jesus spoke just hours before he was crucified and died. He was telling his disciples what was going to happen. And as he explains the future, he says these words, "When I tell you that I'm going away, sorrow has filled your heart. But it is to your advantage that I go away." What kind of advantage was that for the one whom they'd been following for 3 years to die and to go from them? It surely would have been better if he could have stayed a little longer and spent more time with them. Well, events, as we know, happened very rapidly after those words were spoken. Jesus is arrested, he's crucified and buried. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead. And in that moment, or those moments after the resurrection, he comes back to remind them of what he's been talking about. He reminds his followers that he will fulfill that promise that the Spirit will come. But not quite yet. "You will need to wait," Jesus says, "for the Spirit to come." Days, weeks pass. They go back to doing things they were familiar with. They go back to fishing at the Lake of Galilee. But then some weeks afterwards, they gather again in that room where they had been using, that they had been using for their lodgings in Jerusalem, and they are together again, and suddenly they are interrupted by a huge, ferocious wind. I suspect something like what we had on Friday, a wind that filled the building. And then it says it was as if tongues of fire came to rest on each of them. That must have been a very profound experience. And they discovered that because of the coming of the Spirit upon them, they were able to speak in ways that everyone in that very mixed crowd of people who had gathered in Jerusalem could understand them. They spoke in languages they had never spoken before, and everyone understood what they were speaking of as they explained their experience. Now, that movement that started on the day of Pentecost, in that moment when the Spirit came upon them, was, of course, not of human planning or initiative. They had to wait for the Spirit to come upon them. The kingdom of God is not a human enterprise. It's the work of the Spirit. Bishop John Taylor writes about the experience of the coming of the Spirit, and in that he asks this rather uncomfortable question. When was the last time that a PCC postponed a decision because they were waiting for the coming of the Spirit? He continues to write, "I've heard of projects being abandoned for lack of funds, but not for lack of the gifts of the Spirit. Provided the human resources are adequate, we take the spiritual for granted." Difficult words to hear. Of course, the Pentecostal experience wasn't only on that first day when the Spirit came. The Spirit continues to come amongst his people. When faith runs dry, when freedoms have been curtailed, people throughout history have waited for God in the Spirit to come amongst them again. On the 9th of April, 1906, in a warehouse in a run-down street in Los Angeles, the Holy Spirit descended on the gathered people. 7 days a week, 3 times a day for the next 3 years, that warehouse was packed with people hungry for the experience of the Holy Spirit. The pastor of that gathered community, Bill Seymour, was a one-eyed son of an ex-slave. Seymour had experienced segregation in that part of Los Angeles. He had studied the Bible at a Baptist college, but because he was black, he had to listen to the sermons through an open window. Often the coming of the Spirit of God disrupts and disturbs the status quo. I've told this story before, but I think it's worth repeating again. The story is told of a black man that wandered into a white church in apartheid South Africa. He sat down. those churches were often very formal and very structured, and the congregation sat and listened and occasionally were allowed to sing. It came time for the sermon, and the dominie stood up in the pulpit and began to preach. Now, this black man had not been in a white church before, but he quite liked what the preacher was saying. And after a while, as he was listening, he burst out, "Amen!" And people around the congregation looked in his direction. The preacher went on, and this man continued to be enthused by what he was hearing coming from the pulpit. And again, he couldn't hold it in, and he said, "Hallelujah!" And people again, even the dominie, stared at him, but then continued his sermon. And then, after a few more minutes, the black man could not hold any more of that feeling of the Spirit in him, and he shouted out, "Praise the Lord!" Somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, "We don't do that in this church." There are other stories told about the Spirit coming and being expressed amongst the people of God. Another story from South Africa. This is a story of a white young activist, deeply concerned and troubled by the social injustices, who found himself one day in a church in a black township. These people had gathered, as they always did, and he was sitting there feeling quite miserable because all of the things he had been trying to do to right the wrongs in that society were not working, and he was deeply troubled and depressed. What he was most concerned about was, as he looked around him, people in that church were singing, they were laughing, and they were dancing. And he thought to himself, how is it possible that these people, they don't even realize the circumstances in which they are living? And somebody noticed that he was sitting there in his misery, sidled up to him in the pew, and said to him, "Don't you see? The revolution is in the dancing. The Spirit sets our souls free." And that was the way in which they were expressing that freedom. So praise the Lord for the coming of the Spirit of God, who sets people free and gives them new hope and a new life. You see, those who are in the Spirit don't need to take up arms against the struggle. They need to wait for the Spirit to come and manifest himself amongst them. This is what Mary was praying for or singing about in the Magnificat. You may remember, she prayed, she sang that the lowly might be exalted and that the injustices of the present time will be cast down. It is, according to Jesus in the Beatitudes, it's the meek that will inherit the earth. That word meek is a little bit weak. It's not just people who are a little shy or reticent or perhaps showing deference to those in power. The meek are those who, in a very fundamental sense, are the powerless and the disinherited, and yet who, in their living in amongst themselves and with one another, they are those who will indeed inherit the earth. It will be when the Spirit comes amongst them, when they have waited long enough and the Spirit comes, that they will indeed celebrate the coming of the Spirit. Let me just comment for a few minutes on what happened on that first Pentecost. When the Spirit came upon those people, the barriers of language were broken down. Everyone was able to hear the invitation to come and enjoy what had happened in the Easter story, what Jesus had done, and how God was demonstrating in Christ his love for everyone. The challenge, I think, for many of us in our modern day is perhaps that we've lost our ability to speak the languages of other people. I'm not just talking about foreign languages, but we cannot hear one another in the fragmentations of our society. The left doesn't understand the right. The rich don't understand the poor. We do not understand one another in our divided society. We are no longer able to speak in languages that others can understand. Those in the church have a language that those outside cannot understand. And in our deeply divided society, we desperately need the Spirit to come upon us to give us the language in which others might understand and listen. The disciples were very ordinary people. There were fishermen, a tax collector. There were people whom we might almost say were working on the gig economy of that day. These were ordinary people. These were not great, noble, wealthy individuals. These are the people that the Spirit came to chose to come and be with, and to empower and to enable to speak languages that others could understand. So how does the Spirit work with such a motley crowd of individuals? Well, there's a French word that might actually help us to understand how the Spirit works. The word is bricoleur. The bricoleur is a person who knows how to use the materials and tools that he has available to him. He picks up a tool, he picks up a bit of material to do the job. It's, if you like, the French version of do-it-yourself. And there's something about what the Spirit does when he comes amongst his people that's very similar. He works with what he's got, with the people that are there, with the materials that are available to produce something that is remarkable. As the Spirit comes, people are released to speak of the love of God in themselves in languages that other people who are not part of that community can hear and understand and come to enjoy. Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, says this: not many of you were wise, not many of you were powerful, not many of you were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish and the weak and the low and those who were despised, even the things that are not, to bring about nothing. Now, I think this story of Pentecost, of the coming of the Spirit, of the enabling of the Spirit, by the Spirit, for anyone and everyone to speak in languages that can communicate beyond the boundaries of this community, is the Spirit we need in our modern world. It offers a vision for our future, for all of us, those of us who do congregate regularly on a Sunday morning, and those who don't enjoy the singing, or perhaps don't understand the words we speak, or don't feel comfortable in this space. They can too understand the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, the purposes of God, and the love of God. It's amongst us that the Spirit can transform our ways of speaking and being so that others will understand and join us. And the Spirit works with what we are, with the tools that are available, with the materials that are available. And I think as we move into an interregnum, we need to celebrate the fact that amongst us are those whom the Spirit can bring together into a community that can express the love of God that everyone can understand, if we are prepared to wait for the Spirit. Waiting expectantly for the Spirit to come amongst us, listening to one another, preferring what other people want rather than what I want, opening ourselves to what the wider community needs and requires of us over what we think we ought to be giving them. Let us listen and let us wait. The gifts of the Spirit, well, they're described in the scriptures of the gifts of prophecy and teaching and apostleship and pastoral work. The gifts of the Spirit includes the gifts of administration. And the fruits of the Spirit are described by Paul as love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and self-control. It is these things, these gifts amongst us, that will lead to others hearing the voice of God in our community as we are gathered together. So as we wait for the Spirit to come amongst us in these days of uncertainty, as we move into some degree of the unknown, let us celebrate that first occasion and the many other times when the Spirit has come down amongst his people to release again a voice that others can understand and that people can hear. Let me just end with another image of the Spirit, not just as a bricoleur. At the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, you might remember that the Spirit came on Jesus like a dove. Now, the dove in the scriptures isn't that little cuddly white creature. It's a wild bird that used to, it's sometimes called a rock dove. It's a bird that enjoys the desert and the rocky places. It isn't always immediately an attractive looking bird, but it's a bird that inspires and encourages and enables. And it seems to me that that's the spirit that we should be seeking, a wild bird that can come amongst us, that can set us free and give us the power to be able to witness to Christ in languages we have never spoken ourselves, but which will help others to hear us and to know who we are. Just imagine that wild bird coming amongst us and expressing the love that we have enjoyed in Christ in ways that others can know and understand and accept. This is perhaps what God wants to do in his spirit if we are willing to wait for him to come. And that, I suggest, is the message of Pentecost. Amen.